Today's shiur is a Masechta Nida on Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amid, the third word on the line with the word Yochel. We are discussing the inyan of Yoytzei Doifen, which is a caesarean section when a fetus is removed through an incision in the mother's abdominal wall. And on this, we had a machloikis in the Mishnah on Mem Amid Aleph, right at the beginning, between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon. The Tanakhama says that a Yoytzei Doifen, a woman who gave birth through a caesarean section, ain Yoishna Lov Yimei Tumah of Yimei Tahara. It's not like a regular birth where, for a Zohar, she would be Tumah after birth for 7 days, and then have Yimei Toyer of 33 days, where even if she sees Dam, she'll be Mutter to her husband. Or if she gave birth to an Akeva, she'll have Yimei Tumah after birth for 14 days, and have Yimei Toyer for 66 days. We do not say that, says the Tanakhama, on a Yoytzei Doifen birth. And also, Ve'en Chayovin Olov Korban. There's no Chi of Korban of a Yoletis, because this is not considered a regular birth. However, Rav Shimon disagrees, and Rav Shimon, Oimer Harezek Yolet, this is considered like a regular birth, and there will be Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara, and the woman will be Chayav a Korban of a Yoletis. In the Gemara, we learned Amar Rabbi Yochanan Umayde Rabbi Shimon Bekachim She'ena Kaddish. Even though Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah holds that a birth of a Yoytzei Doifen is considered like a regular Leida, Legabi Tumah V'Tahara, the Yimei Tumah V'Yimei Tahara, and the Chiyuv of Havas Korban. But Rabbi Shimon will be Moide that by Kachim, the birth of a Yoytzei Doifen, if the person was Magdish a Yoytzei Doifen, it would not be Kaddish. And the Gemara at the bottom of the Amid wanted to bring a Raya. Tanya the Messiah Leila Rabbi Yochanan. Let us bring a Raya to Rabbi Yochanan from a Brisa, which began at the bottom of Mem Amid Aleph. And this long Brisa is what we are towards the tail end of the Brisa. And we are now beginning with the word Yochel. Right before the two lines above where we are starting, the Gemara had summarized from a Pasuk of Zois Toira Sa'ila, that all the psulim that have been mentioned from the beginning of the words of Rab Shimon on the second line on Amud Beis, Rab Shimon Oimer, and Rab Shimon had added a number of psulim. For example, if somebody shechted a korban with a machshava to eat the korban chutz lezmanoi or chutz lemekaymoi, not in its proper time or the proper place, and all of the psulim similar to that one, that we learn out from the pasuk Zayis Toira Sa'ila, that Riba Toira Achas L'chol Ha'olim Shem Olu Lo Yerdu, that we take the word Oila not to mean specifically the Korban Oila, but rather Kol Ha'olim, all Korbanis that are brought on the Mizbeach, there is one Toira for all of them. We're learning this out from the word Toiras, that there's Toira Achas L'chol Ha'olim. What is that one Toira? Shem Olu Lo Yerdu, that if they went up on the Mizbeach, even though they're puzzle, once they're up, they do not come down. And now we begin today's shir. Yochel, Shani, Marba, Esareveya. I would think that from Zois, Tyrus, Oilo, we should also include a number of other psulim, such as Roveya, where the animal sodomized a human, or Vanirava, an animal was sodomized by a human, or Vahamukta, when this animal was set aside, as Rashi says, Sheyichdu Litzarech Takroivus Avodas Kachavim, it was set aside to be served as an Avodah Zarah. Vehanevad, as Rashi says, Sheshtachavaloi, an animal that was actually bowed down to and worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. Or Vesnan, if this animal was given as payment to a Zona, to a harlot. Or Vamechir, if this animal was exchanged for a dog. Or Vahaklayim, this animal was a hybrid offspring from two domesticated animals, from two behemoths. And on this, Rashi brings a pasuk. The pasuk says, Shor oikesev prat leklayim. We're memayit that if it's a hybrid, it is possible as a korban. Vehatrefa, or an animal that has a defect in it, and it will not be able to survive because of this defect. And the last case is what's negeya to us, v'yoytzei doifen. If this animal was born through a caesarean section, so perhaps this should also be included with Zois Toira Sa'ila, that Riba Toira Achas L'chola Oilim Shem Olu L'Yerdu. That's what I would think. Talmud Loimer. That's why the Pasuk gave a miyut, an exclusion. The first word says Zois. This, only the ones that were mentioned at the beginning of the Brisa, which Rav Shimon mentioned. But all the ones that we just mentioned are not included. They're nismayed from the word Zois. Ask the Gemara, the obvious question, Umara Isla, Rabbi says Elu, Lohaitzi says Elu. Since you have a ribui and a miyut, so why are you marba the first list that Rav Shimon gave, and why do you use the miyut for the second list? Maybe it should be just the opposite. As we turn to the Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, the Gemara answers, Acher Shariba Kosef Umiyat Amrat, as Rashi explains, since there is a ribui and there is a miyut, there's a ribui of Toiras and there's a miyut of Zois. So apparently the Torah is leaving it over to the Chachamim, as Rashi puts it, Leilech Acher Oimer Adas, to go after their reasoning, to go after a svora, which psulim should be included in the ribui that if they're on the mizbeach, they're not taken down, and which should go in the miyut of Zois, that if they are on the mizbeach, they are taken down. And the logic, the Gemara says, is the following. Marba nias elu, I marba the first list that Rav Shimon mentioned, shahoya psulim b'kodesh, as Rashi explains, Shalachr Shabol Azora Irapsulin, that the psul happened in all of these cases after it was brought into the Azora to be brought as a korban. Umoitziani Yaseilu al bimemayet. The second list, the Raveya and Nirva list, Shalohya Psulim Bakaidish. That psul did not happen after they came into the Azara. That psul was already here before they came into the Azara. And therefore, on those that are psul even before coming into the Azara, the halacha is that even if they're brought on top of the Mizbeach, they are taken down. Tosfos asks on Rashi's definition of psulim bakaidish, and lo yahya psulim bakaidish, and Tosfos in Divrei HaMaschil, shehayah psulim bakaidish, has a different pshat, ayin shum. Ketanimiyas, we have learned anyway in this brisa, yaitzei daifin deloy, the last one in the list of those which are olu yerdu, deloy over here means they are not able to stay on the mizbech, but rather they are taken off the mizbech. What was the last one? That was yaitzei daifin, which is what we're discussing. My love, yaitzei daifin de kachu. Doesn't this mean a yaitzei daifin of kachim? And l'chayra, we see that it's taken off. Why? Because it has no kedusha, and this would be a raya. We're saying this in the words of Rav Shimon, and this would be a raya to Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Yochanan said, "Umoyed de Rabbi Shimon bekachim, she'enoi kaddish," that a yaitzei daifin is not kaddish by kachim, even though legabe the halachas of a regular leida, it is considered by Rabbi Shimon as a leida, but le'inyan kachim, it's not considered kachim. L'chayr, we have a beautiful raya from the brisa of Mem Amid Beis, where Rabbi Shimon is telling us clearly that a yaitzei daifin im alu yerdu because it has no kedusha. Amar Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Nosson loy. Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Nosson says it's no proof from this brisa. It's not speaking about yaitzei daifin of kachim, but rather yaitzei daifin the bechor. It's speaking about if the bechor was born through a cesarean section, then it does not have a locha of a bechor, and that is the yaitzei daifin that im olu yerdu that would be taken off the mizbech. However, perhaps the yaitzei daifin of kachim would be im olu lo yerdu, because it does have kedusha, and there is no raya from this brisa to what Rabbi Yochanan says in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Ask the Gemara, Bechor, mi pater rechem nafke. I don't need Zois to be memayed a Bechor. That's simple that a Bechor is in the smite, because there's a requirement in Bechor that it's the pater rechem. It's the first child that is born which will open up the womb of the mother, and by a yaitzei daifin, where you have no peter rechem, because it's not coming through the rechem, it's coming through the incision in the mother's abdominal wall, so avada there, it's chulad. And therefore, what do you need a miyut of zois to be memayated? It's obviously, it doesn't have a din b'char. B'char has to be peter rechem. Elamai, the Gemara says back, the kachim. So, you're trying to say, with this line of reasoning, that we should have a raya again to what Rabbi Yochanan said in Rabbi Shimon, because we are speaking about kachim, and yet im olu yerdu, because it has no kedusha. That's what you want to say. But your same kasha that you asked on b'chor will apply to kachim, because me'ima ima nafka. We learned gzeir shava mem amid aleph that there's one imoy that's written in the Torah legabe b'chor, and there's another imoy by kachim. So we learn out that just like yoytzi daifin is not considered a b'chor, so too yoytzi daifin is not considered kadosh. So I know that from gzeir shava. So the same problem that you have with b'chor, you would have by other kachim as well. The Gemara says, "Hi, Maya, how could you compare one to the other? If I'm going to say that the Zois is Memayet Kachim, Hainu de Itzuche Trei Kroi, then everything works out. Then it's good. Where you have two psukim, meaning you have two limudim. You have one limud from the Gzei Rishava of Imoy Imoy, and you have another limud from Zois. I need both. Why do I need both? Because I have two different cases of Yaitse Daifen by Kachim. Chad lebehemis chulun da'oyle derech daifen va'agdisha. One is speaking about an animal that was chulun, was not kadosh, and it gave birth to a animal. And how did it give birth? Through a caesarean section. And at that point, the owner was magdish, the animal born as a Yaitse Daifen. So on that, we're going to have the Gzeir Shava of Imoy Imoy to tell us that just like by Bechor, Yaitzeh Daifin is not a Bechor, so too, if you were Magdish Achulin Yaitzeh Daifin, it does not become Kaddish. But V'chad, I still need another limud, L'behemes Kachim, D'oyle Derech Daifin, that if an animal of Kachim became pregnant and gave birth to a child through a caesarean, so it also is not able to be brought on the Mizbech, even though that animal will have Kiddush on it, but the halacha will be im olo yered. Because, as we said before, it's not a psule b'kodesh. The psul didn't happen after it came to the Azara. This is a psul that happened before it came to the Azara. And therefore, from Zois, I'll be able to be memayet a Vlad Kachim, which was born as a Yaitse Daifen, that the din is im olu yerdu, that it, if it went up on the mizbeach, it still comes down. So if I learn the pasuk is going on kachim, then I have two limudim. I have imoy imoy to be memayet chulin, which he was magdish as a yaitzeh daifen, and then I have zois to be memayet vlad kachim, that was born as a yaitzeh daifen from a mother who was kadosh, and still the vlad is not brought on the Mizbech, and if it's brought on the Mizbech, it's Yerdu. That's why I need to psukim. And Rashi says that the next six words, we are not Goyris. Ukasavr Vlad is Kachim of Yasnein Kadoshim. We take that out. And we continue. Ela I Amra de Bechor. If I'm going to learn Zois is coming to be Mamayat a Bechor, that was a Yoyt Sedaifen. That me Petter Rachem Nafke. There, my original question comes back. What do we need to psukim? There's only one case. There's a Bechor that was born as a Yoyt Sedaifen. And it doesn't have a Loch of Bechor. And that I know from Petter Rachem. Since it didn't come out through the Rachem, it came as a Yoyt Sedaifen. Memele, it has no Kedushas Bechor. I have no need for Tupsukim. By Kachim, I have a need for Tupsukim. By Bechor, I don't. So therefore, according to what the Gemara is saying now, it comes out that we need the Tupsukim. We're talking about Kachim, not about Bechor. And it comes out that we do have a very good raya, since this is all in the sheet of Reb Shimon. This will prove what Reb Yochanan says, that Reb Shimon is moided by Kachim, that a Yaitzeh Daifen has no Kedusha, and therefore if it was brought up on the Mizbeach, the halacha is Yerdu. Continues the Gemara, Hachinami Mistavra, this is also logical, as we have just said, that Yaitzeh Daifen is not speaking about Bechor, it's speaking about Kachim. And for that reason, we need two psukim. We need the gzereshav of imoy imoy to learn out kachim from bechor. That just like a bechor, which is not peter rechem, is chulin if it came from a yotzei daifen, so too, if someone was magdish chulin, that was a yotzei daifen, it will not have any kedusha. That's what we learn out from the gzereshav of imoy imoy. And then we need another pasuk of Zois, that even if a animal was born from Hegdish, from a vlad of Hegdish, so it has Kedusha, but since it's a Yaitse Doifen, and that psul did not happen after it got to the Azara, but rather Shaloi Haya Psul on Bekaidish. It happened before it came into the Azara, and therefore it imalu yerdu. If it went up on the Mizbeach, you still take it down. This approach of requiring two psukim is logical, because we're going to have to apply that same approach to all the other psulim that are listed in the end of the Braisa that we learned on Daf Mem Amid Beis concerning Roiveya, Nirva, Muktza, Nevin, and Klayim. As we're soon going to see, that there are really two psukim required. And why is that? Again, because one is needed for Chulin and one is needed for Kachin. Now, first, Rashi explains to us how all these psulim of Roiveya and Nirva, etc., apply to Kachim. Because if the animal is Mekudeshes, this would seem to be a contradiction with these psulim. If the animal is Kadosh, it doesn't belong to the owner, and if so, how can the owner, for example, make it into Muktzah or Nevad or Esnan or Mechir? These all require that it should belong to the person who is trying to do that Aveira with the animal. And if, on the other hand, it has a certain defect such as Klayim, then that should prevent it from becoming Kadosh. So how do we have an animal which has Kedusha and yet have all these psulim that are listed? So Rashi in Divrei HaMaskil, Hachinami Mistavra, there are actually two Divrei HaMaskil, Hachinami Mistavra, the first one. So Rashi says in each case how it works out. So Reveya and Nirva is not a problem. He was Magdish the animal, and after the animal was Kadosh, either the animal committed sodomy on a human, or the animal was sodomized by a human. Roiveya and Nirva. Muktza and Nevad is speaking about Kachim Kalim, and we're going according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that holds that it's Mammon Bailim, and therefore the Baal has the ability and the authority to usher them, and therefore he can make them pasul through Nevad or Muktza. What about Esnan and Mechir? Esnan and Mechir, just to say it's going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili by Kachim Kalim, and that he could give it as a present to a Zayna or exchange it for a dog, would not be sufficient, because we find the Mishnah in Tmura on the Flamen Amid Beis that even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if Kachim Kalim was used to pay a Zayna or in exchange of a dog, it does not become possible. So therefore Rashi says it's speaking about that he gave the Esnan to the Zayna when the Vlad was still an Uber in its mother's stomach, and so to the Mechir Kelev, the exchange for a dog, was speaking about that he gave an Uber, and therefore, since he also holds, Rashi says, Bahavi Yasin Hem Kadoshim, that they only become Kadosh if the mother was Kadosh. The Vlad only becomes Kadosh when it's born. So therefore, the Kedusha is Chal Memela once it's born, but Memela, the owner, had the ability to usher and to pasul it through Esnan and through Mechir, because there was no Kedusha until it's born, and he owned it, and therefore he had the right to make an Esnan or a Mechir. As far as Klayim, Treif, and Yoitzedeifen, the last ones that are listed in the list, there it's speaking about Vlad Hegdish. So Memela, they have Kedusha, and at the same time, they are Klayim, and they have a Treifa, and they are a Yoitzedeifen. So Rashi goes through each case and works it out how the animal could be Kadosh, and yet at the same time, have a Psul. Now that we've established that, says the Gemara, Hachinami Mistavra, Midik Tani Harayve Vanirva, Vahamukta, the one that was set aside for Avodah Zarah, Vaneva, the one that was served as an Avodah Zarah, Vaklayim, and the hybrid, Hani Mehachanafka. You told me on Mem Amid Beis that they are all learned from the Pasuk of Zois, the Miyud. Zois that they im alu yer, do they go down? But we have a different pasuk. Mahasim nafka. We have the pasuk in Vayikra Perik Aleph pasuk Beis, which states right at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem Adam ki yakriv mikem karban Hashem mina behema mina bakar u minat zayin takrivu es karbanchem. And the Gemara learns out here four different miyutim. From the first words, mina behema, from the behema, we learn out lahaitzi arevei v'anirva, that not every animal can be brought as a korban. This excludes the revei and the nirva, cannot be brought as a korban. It's pasul. Then the pasul continues, min habakar, again a miyut, only from the bakar, from the cattle, not all cattle, lahaitzi es anevad. That excludes if the animal was served as avodah zarah. Then it says, min atzayin, another miyut, lahaitzi es hamoktza, if it was set aside to be served as an avodah zarah. And then we have on that same word, Uminat sign, that vav is also extra. It didn't have to say uminat sign. It could have just said minat sign. So from the extra vav, I learned out lahaitzi es anegeach. If the animal, as Rashi explains in the first wide line, killed someone, and we're speaking about where the person who owns it could shech the animal and eat it, but it's possible as a korban. What's the case? If two edim came and said that this is a ox that killed someone, then it has a din of Shoran Niskel, and Shoran Niskel is Asur Bano, and even if one would shecht it, he would not be able to eat it. So Rashi explains it's speaking about where there was only one aid who testified, and Rashi says the same applies to the case of Reveya and Nirva. There was only one aid, or the owner admitted, and we have a halacha, Moida B'Knas Pater. So on a personal level, when it's not Negeya, Hegdish, if it's only the testimony of one aid or of the owner himself, then he would be allowed to eat it. However, this is still a psul agabe hegdish, so it's mutter for the hedyin and it's usher for gavoa. But if it would be al pishnei edim, then it's beskila, then it's even usher for a hedyin. So for umin atzayin, we learn out lahoitias and negeach, that einichinami, for the owner himself, he could eat it, but he cannot bring it as a korban, because it's speaking here, there was aedus of one aid or of the bailim. Visu klayim mihacha nafka. Are you learning it out from Zois? Again, we have a different limit. Mihasam nafka. We learn it from over there. And actually, Rashi, the last Rashi on the bottom of Mem Amid Beis, brought this pasuk. The pasuk states, shor oikesev oyeis, an ox or a sheep or a goat. So we learn out, shor prat l'klayim. This excludes if a goat and a sheep had a offspring. So that hybrid is possible. Oy eis prat l'nidme. Rashi explains that nidme means both parents were goats, but yet the child that came out, the offspring, looked like a sheep. So it's also possible for a korban. So it comes out that the whole list, which is mentioned at the end of the Braisa Mem Amid Beis, you're learning it out from Zois. Really, we have other psukim. So why do we need two sets of limudim for each of the psulim? Ela Yisrachu Trei Kroy. You do need for the end of that list, at the end of the Braisa, you do need two psukim. Why? Just like we said before, Chad Lebei Mischolin, from the various psukim and limudim and miyutim that you brought before will be memayin, an animal of chulin, which had these psulim. So then, if he was magdish them, they can never become kadosh. And chad lebehemis kachim. And one is speaking about where these psulim took place when the animal was kadosh. As we explained from Rashi, in each case, what that case would be, where the animal could be kadosh and yet have these psulim. And that we will be memayit from Zeus. That Zeus is telling you, even if the animal is Kaddish, and it was brought up on the Mizbeach, but since it's loy hay psulim b'kaddish, the psul didn't happen after the Azara, it happened before the Azara, the halach is, m'alu yerdu. So just like the entire list, needs two lemudim. One for chol in which he was magdish that it remains chol, and one for hegdish that even though it's hegdish, but if it has this psul which was not psul in the kaidish, im alu yerdu, hachinami here also, by yaitse daifen, which is the last one of that list, it's rechatrei kroi. So now it makes sense that you need two limudim. You need imoy to tell me that if it's chulin and it's yaitse daifen, then the hegdish doesn't help. And you need the pasuk of Zeis, that if it's kadosh, if it was a vlad hegdish, which was a yaitse daifen, even though it has kedusha, but that kedusha will not allow it to stay up on the mizbech because it was loy haya psulim b'kaidish, and therefore the halachism alu yerdu. So what we wanted to say, that it makes sense that we're speaking about in yaitse daifim kaidish and not a case of b'chor, this makes sense, and that's why you need two lemudim. And from this entire brice and the explanation of the brice, it comes out that Rabbi Yochanan was correct in the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that although Rabbi Shimon holds yaitse daifim is leida concerning yemei tumen, yemei toyer, and bringing a korban, but it is not considered hegdish if he was magdish a yaitse daifim, the kedusha will not be chal, and the animal will not be kadosh. Before we begin the next Gemara, let us quickly review a number of halachas concerning Nidus and Ziva that we have had several times before in the Masechta. Midaraisa, a woman during her monthly period, initially, if she sees dam, then she's considered a Nida for 7 days, after which she makes a Hefsik Tahara, and if she doesn't see dam during that Bedika, she can go to the mikveh that night and she becomes tohar and mutter to her husband. That's, we're speaking on a deraisa level. The next 11 days, she is a potential zava, and if she sees dam on one or two of those next 11 days, she's considered a zava ktana, and she would have to be shomeris yoim keneged yoim. She has to observe one day where she has no discharge before she can become tor by going to the mikveh. However, if she sees dam during that 11-day period, she sees dam for 3 consecutive days, then she becomes a zava gedoyla, a major zava, and in order to become tor, she has to have zayin nikiyim, 7 consecutive clean days. If she doesn't see any dam during those 7 clean days, then she can go to the mikveh, and she's also chayv in a korban, and then she becomes totally tohar. And once these 11 days have passed, then a new cycle begins all over again. And if she sees dam starting on the 19th day of this cycle, then she will become a nida again. So the basic difference between nida and ziva is that a nida, midaraisa, can see dam for the full 7 days, and with one hefsik tahara where she does not see dam, she becomes tor, whereas by zavus, by the halachas of ziva, there she has to have zayin nikiyim if she is a zava gedoyla where she saw dam 3 days in a row. Now, this halach of ziva is only if she sees normally, but let's say she sees dam because of labor, then the halacha is that she will not become a zav. And we learn this from a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chaf Hei, where the pasuk says, Zoiv Dama, that Ziva has to come from Dama, from her own blood, which means the blood that comes from her naturally, which makes her into a Ziva, but not Dam that is coming because of Leda. So therefore, if, for example, she would see 3 days in a row, during the 11 days of potential ziva, she would have seen 3 days, but right after those 3 days, she would give birth. So this blood that she saw for those 3 days is considered connected to her birth and to her labor, and therefore she would not be a zava. If, for example, she saw 3 days, and then there was a period where she did not experience any labor pains, then we would say that the 3 days prior were a false labor, and therefore that bleeding would make her into a zava, because we would say that those 3 days have nothing to do, since there was a gap until she gave birth, those 3 days have nothing to do with leda. So if there is a Leda connected to the 3 days, then we say that the Leda is Metaher de Zivus. By the way, this halach is only by a Zava, where the Leda can be Metaher de Ziva. However, if it was during the 7 days of Dam Nida, then the Leda would not be Metaher the Dam Nida. Our Gemara now is going to bring a Brisa which discusses what happens if you had 3 days of labor right before, without any gap, before a birth. However, this birth was not a normal birth. This birth was a cesarean. It was a Yaitse Daifin. Is that considered a Leda which will be Metaher the Zivus? Or is it not considered a Leda which will be Metaher the Zivus? Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan have learned, Hamakasha Shloisha Yamim, if a woman had labor pains for 3 days, and then she had the 3 days of dam coming from her rechem, V'yotza v'la derech daifin, and she gave birth through cesarean, Harezu Yoledes Bezoiv, the Tanakhama holds, that this is not considered a Leda which will be Metaher her Zivas, and therefore the birth that she gave by Yoytze Daifin is Yoledes Bezoiv, she is a Zava. V'Rab Shimon Omer, and Rab Shimon disagrees. Rab Shimon says, Ainzu Yoledes Bezoiv. This is not considered Yoledes Bezoiv. Why? Because it's considered a regular Leda, and a regular Leda is Metaher de Zivus. And therefore, she's not considered a Zava. Then the Braisa says in the Seifa, a second halacha, V'dam ha-yotze misham, the blood that comes out from there, which the Gemara understands to mean from the place of the incision through the abdominal wall. If blood came out from there, tame, that dam is tame. V'Rab Shimon metar, Rab Shimon says the dam is tar. And now the Gemara analyzes the Reisha and the Seifa. Bishlam a Reisha. The Reisha makes perfect sense because Rab Shimon l'tamei, v'Rabbanan l'tamayu. Rab Shimon goes l'shitasoi in our Mishnah, where he says that a Yotze Daifin is considered a regular Leda. If it's considered a regular Leda, then she has Yemei Tuma and Yemei Tahara, like any woman who gives birth, 7 days for a Zachar of Tuma, 14 days of Tumah for a Nekeva, 33 days of Yemei Toyer for a Zohar, 66 days of Yemei Toyer for a Nekeva. However, concerning Ziva, since it's considered a legitimate birth, according to Rav Shimon, the birth takes away the halacha of Ziva. V'Rabban l'tamayu, the Rabbanan hold that it's not considered a regular birth, and it does not take away the Ziva, and in fact she is a Zava. Ella Seifa b'may pligi. But in the Seifa, what is the argument about? As Rashi explains, since the Gemara now understands that when we said dam hayotze misham, it means from the incision in the abdominal wall of the cesarean birth, that incision itself caused dam. So if you're going to understand that we're referring to that dam, and the tuma that could be associated with that dam is dam leda, so then it should be just the opposite. Since Rav Shimon considers this a regular birth, then this would be dam leda. It should be tameh because of dam leda. The Rabbanan who don't consider it a regular birth should consider the dam that's coming from the wound, from the incision, as not being dam leda, and therefore it's tar. And here in the Brisa we learn just the opposite, that the Chacham hold dam ha-yotze misham tameh, and Rav Shimon is the one who says tar. Elamai, it must be that we are not speaking about the dam of the incision. Because that dam, even Rav Shimon is moida, that it's a wound. And therefore, even though Rav Shimon says that you have to sit 7 days for a Zachar and 14 days of Tumah for a Nekeva, that's because of the blood. Because there's a din of a Leda that causes that tumah. It has nothing to do with the dam. But the dam of the incision in the abdominal wall, that dam, even according to Rav Shimon, is not considered dam Leda. It's considered the dam of a Makkah. It's a regular wound. So if so, what in fact is the machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon? Amar Rav Vinna, so Rav Vinna answers, Kigoyin Shiyotze Vlad Derech Daifin. The Vlad came out through the abdominal wall, as we turn to Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. V'dam derech rechem. We're not speaking about the dam. When it says misham, it doesn't refer to the dam of the cut, of the incision. It refers to the dam that flowed out regularly through the rechem. V'az de Rav Shimon l'tamei v'rabban l'tamayu. And Rav Shimon and Rabban are going l'shitosam. As the Taisrei HaRosh explain, that in fact it's all the same case, except the Reisha is referring to the woman, and the Seifa is referring to the dam. So just like in the Reisha, concerning the woman, is she a Zav or not? So Rav Shimon holds she's not a Zav because it's a regular Leid, and the Leid is Matar, the Zava. We don't consider it a Zava. And the Rabbanan say it's not a Leida, and therefore the woman is Tame, because she's a Zava. She saw for 3 days in a row. During the 11 days of potential Zivus, she saw 3 days in a row, and there was no Leida to be Matar her from being a Zava. So the Rabbanan say she's a Zava. Rabbi Shimon says she's not a Zava. So concerning the Dam, we have the same Achlaikas, that Rav Shimon looks at that Dam, that it's not Dam of a Zava. And Rabbanan say, no, it is Dam of Azava, and is Metame because of Dam of Azava. Mask of Lo Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef asked the Kasha on this Pshat, Chodah, Dahayna Reisha. First of all, this is the Reisha, as the Tosfei HaRosh explained, that you're right, the Reisha is speaking about the woman and the Sefer, the Dam. But it's the same Machloikis. It's all one related to the other. If the woman's a Zava, then her Dam is Dam of Azava. And if the woman is not a Zava, then the Dam is not Dam of Azava. Why make it into a Reish and a Seifa as if it's two separate machlokes? It's the same machlokes. V'yoid, misham, since we used a Lashon in the Seifa, v'dama yaitse misham, from there, makom v'lad mashma. That's mashma that we're talking about, the incision where we took out the child from the woman. We didn't take her the child out regularly from the rechem. We took the child out from the wall, the abdominal wall. And it's not mashma like you're saying that we're speaking about dam that came out from the derech rechem. Elam Rabbi Yosef says a different shot. And he says that in fact the Reish and the Sefer are not speaking about the same case, but they're speaking about two separate cases. The Reish is speaking about that a woman had labor pains and saw dam for 3 days and then she gave birth, but she gave birth as a yoytze doifin. The Seifa is a completely different case. What's the Seifa? Kegoin, she yotza vlad viddam derech doif. And it's not speaking about a woman who was 3 days seeing dam during the potential 11-day period of Ziva. But rather, she gave birth, and the child and the blood came out through the wall. Ubimekor mekoyim etame kamifugli. Der machlaikis is whether the Rechem is considered a place that is tummy. In other words, this dam that is coming out through the wall, it started out coming from the rechem, from the womb. It's not dam nidus because it didn't go through the makor, it didn't go through the vaginal canal. So that's the only way that it can be considered dam nidus, to come out that way, since it didn't come out that way. So it's not dam nidus. The question is, will this dam, which started at the rechem and didn't go out the normal way, but went out through the cut, derech doifen, through the abdominal wall, but it, since the dam touched the rechem, is the rechem a place of tumah which will make the dam tamei? Mar sover the chachamim hold, in this case, makor makor metamei, that it is a place of tumah, and therefore the dam is tamei, and not like regular dam, which when it touches something that's tamei would be a rishon, but rather here the dam, in fact, is considered an av hatumah, and therefore when it goes out, it's metamei the woman. If it would be a rishon, it couldn't be metamei the woman. But here, the dam itself is av hatumah, and it's metamei the woman. That's the sheet of the chachamim, who say, dam ayoytze misham, meaning the dam that's coming out from the doifen, but started out in the makar, is tamei, and it's metamei the woman. Umar sovereign Rav Shimon holds, makar makar metahar. Rav Shimon holds that the makar, the source referring to the womb, that is considered a place that is in and of itself is tor, and therefore the dam that touches it does not become tamei, and therefore the dam that comes out, it's not dam nidus, it didn't go through the vaginal canal. It's not considered tamei because it touched the makor, because the makor is considered tor, and it's considered like the dam of a cut, which in no way is metamei the woman. And that's why Rav Shimon says the dam misham, meaning from the doifen, even though it started out from the makor, the halach is it is tar, and the woman remains tar because of this dam as well. Continues the Gemara, Amar Shlokish, says Shlokish, Ledivrei hametame bedam, according to the Chachamim, who are metame in the dam, the way we explained it previously, because they hold when the dam goes out derech doifin, but it comes from the uterus, mekar mekaymai tamei, the mekar is tamei, and therefore the dam is also, has a din of avatuma, and when it comes out and touches the woman, she becomes tamei with a tumas maga, as Rashi explains, which will make her tamei until the night. Says Rish Lakish that not only will she be tamei one day, but she'll actually be tamei 7 days. Metamei be'isha, as Rashi says, mishum riyas nida va'afal gav debo derech daifin. So Rish Lakish is saying it will not just be a tumah of one day, but rather it will be a tumah of 7 days. Rabbi Yosef before said it would only be a tumah of one day. Rish Lakish is arguing, and he is saying that the tumah will actually be of 7 days. However, Ledivrei HaMatar, according to Rav Shimon, who holds that Mekor Mekoymoi is not tamei, so HaMatar B'dam, Mitar B'isha. He holds that the woman is tar, and there is no nidus, because nidus can only come about if it goes through the rechem, it goes through the vaginal canal, and if it goes through the daifin, it's not metame as far as need is concerned. Even though Reb Shimon holds that a yaitza daifin is a leda, and for example, if she gave birth to a zocher, she's going to be tame for 7 days anyway because of tumas leda, but the nafkamina would be if, for example, she had coming out a form that is not human-like, and therefore it's not considered a leda, but there was dam coming out from the uterus through the wall. According to Rish Lakish, Rav Shimon would hold that there's no tumas nida, and therefore in this particular case where she gave birth to a non-human form, there would not be tumas leda, nor would there be Tumas Nida, and she would be Torah completely for those 7 days. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rish Lakish, and he says, Afla Divrei HaMetame B'dam, even according to the Chachamim, who say that Makor Makor Metame, and therefore there's a Tum of one day, but Metar B'isha, they are Metar the Isha, that she is not Tame the 7 days of Tumas Nida. V'az Rabbi Yochanan Tame, Rabbi Yochanan goes with Shitasai, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, Minai in Shein Isha Tameo, Achiyetze Madve, Derech Ervasa. How do we know that a woman is not Tame until the Madve, means the Dam Nida, goes out through the vaginal canal, through her makam erva, shenemar, because the pasuk says, the isha sheyishkaves isha dava, when a man has relations with a woman who is a nida, the gila as erva saw, and he uncovered her makam erva, her nakedness, as makaira, her source, he has uncovered, and the words v'gilas ervas are extra. And from here, Rabbi Yochanan learns out malamed she'ein isha tmeya she yetsa matve derech ervasa. The pasuk with these extra words is trying to teach us that dam nidus is only matame the woman with a tuma of nida for 7 days. That's only if the dam came out through the vaginal canal, but if it came out through the wall, it was a yoytze daifen, then it is not metame for tumas nida. Continues the Gemara. Amr Rish Lakish Rishum Rabbi Yudin Nasiya. Rish Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Yudin Nasiya. Mekor shen nekar, if a piece of the mekor, the uterus, dislodged, as Rashi says, chatichas basar, a piece of the mekor dislodged, v'nafa lo oretz, that it fell down to the ground, tameya, the woman is tamei. Shenemar, because we have a pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Tzayin, pasuk Lamed Vav, Yan he shafech nechushtech, because your bottom spilled out, and Rashi says that the word nechushtech refers to the makar visigali ervaseich, and your erva was revealed. It's interesting that both the Gemara and Rashi have the word as visigali with a yud at the end, where actually the pasuk in Yecheskel, it's with a hey at the end. But be that as it may, Rashi says that we see from this pasuk in Yecheskel that the piece of the makor that was dislodged and spilled out to the ground, it's still called erva. Rashi says ki ilu hu bimkaimai. It's as if it's still in its place. Hilkach tamei. That's why it has a din of an ava tumah, and it's metami the isha. Now the Gemara wonders what exactly is the tumah. Lama ilay molutumah shiva. If this halacha of Rish Lakish is concerning a tumas nida, damar merachman of loychaticha. The Torah says that nida is only through blood and not through a piece of flesh. Elo letumas erev. It must be that since on its way out it touched the woman, and since it is an av hatuma, so through maga it made the woman tame for one day until the nighttime. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, said Rabbi Yochanan, makar the uterus shehizia kishtei tipe margolius, where two drops, as Rashi says, dam lovin vitzolol, white clear liquid, and it looks like the appearance of pearls, came out, tamea, the woman is tame. And again, the Gemara asks, Lamai, Ilem l'tumas shiva, if it's for tumas nida of 7 days, chamisha damim tmeim be'isha v'suloi. We have learned that there's only 5 different types of shades of red which are metame by a woman, and not more. Bizman is there when we're not baki in the shades of red. All maris of dam are tame. We do not differentiate. However, what Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about, which is lovin v'tzolol, which is clear white, that is not considered dumb at all, although Rashi calls it dumb love of its soul, but lahalacha does not have a din of dumb, so therefore it would not be metame as dam nida. Elotumas erev, we have to say the same thing as we did in the Gemara before, that since when these drops came out, they touched the woman, and they are tame with a tuma of av hatuma, through maga, that will be metame the woman. Says the Gemara, v'dafka tarti, it's only if 2 drops came out. Aval chod, if only 1 drop came out, eima mi'ama asya, I will say that it came from someplace else, which Rashi says, minat stodin, it didn't come from the makor itself, which would be matame these drops, but rather it came from the sides of the woman, and it's not from the makor, and therefore it is not matame. But if it's 2, then we say it definitely came from the makor, and the makor will be metame, even though these are clear white drops. Continues the Gemara to explain to the next part of the Mishnah, where we learn kol hanoshim metamen bebeis hachitzoin, that all women, the dam nidus is metame in the outside chamber. We learn from a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Tezvav pasuk Yotes, where the Torah states dam yeh zava bifsara, that the nidus can be metame even when it has not gone outside of the isha, even when it's bivsara in her flesh, it can still be metame. And where is that? That's in the beis achitzon. Says the Gemara, hai niu beis achitzon. What exactly is the beis achitzon? Amar Rish Lakish, says Rish Lakish, kol sheti noikes yeshevis veniris. When a young girl sits down, and Rashi says, niftach rachmaktas, so her vagina opens up a little bit, and part of her vagina can be seen, so that part is considered the beis hachitzon. In other words, although it's still inside the isha, that part has a halacha of being outside. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, Rashi says this is a kasha. Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan says, what you consider to be beis hachitzon, oisoy makom golui hu etzel sheretz. That is not something inside the isha which has a halacha that it went outside and therefore she's tameh, but rather that's actually considered as being outside of the isha. Why? Because we see by a sheretz where Rashi brings down the halacha is kaimalon ein maga beis hastar metameh, that of a sheretz did not touch a woman from the outside. But the sheretz went inside. And the halach is that the sheretz is not metame because the tumas maga of a sheretz is not metame in the hidden area of a human. And yet, this place where the tenoike sits and her vagina can be seen, that is considered not a base storum, not a hidden part of the woman, but rather it's considered as being on the outside. So therefore, you cannot say that that's the base of chitzon, because as we explained, base of chitzon is some area of her body which is inside, which has a halach of outside. But in fact, the place where the tanaikas is yeshavas veniris, that is considered totally outside, and that's why the maga v'sheretz is matame. Because if it would be considered inside, then it would be ein maga v'sheretz v'beis hastorim. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, you know what's considered beis hachitzayin? Ad bein hashinayim. It refers to the area in the vagina, which is between the teeth. That's the literal translation of bein hashinayim. And Rashi says that this is taltule basar, dangling flesh, which could refer to either two glands or two muscles, which are right after the cervix opening of the uterus. So from the outside, going up the vagina until the bein hashinayim, that's considered beis hachitzayin, and she's tamei, if the dam went there. However, if the dam only went up till the bein hashinayim, from the uterus until the bein hashinayim, that is considered inside the isha, and it will not be metame. Ask the Gemara, Iboy Ludabne, she had a question. Bein hashinayim kilifnim oy kilichutz. What about if the dam came opposite the bein hashinayim? In that area, does that have a locha of inside, and therefore the woman is still tar? Oy kilichutz, or does it have a locha that it went into the beis achitzayim, and therefore the woman will be tummy? Toshima, come in here. I'll bring a rhyme from a brisa. The Tani Reb Zakkai. Reb Zakkai said, ad bein hashinayim, from the outside of the woman up till the bein hashinayim, that is beis hachitzon, and that is tamei. But bein hashinayim atzman kalifnim, the bein hashinayim themselves are considered like lifnim, and she will be torah. The oracle in there says that this is a halacha l'maishim misina, even though logically one could argue that once it leaves the uterus, then it should be tamei, it should be considered beis hachitzon anywhere in the vagina. And the halacha l'maishim misina says that no, that there is a shear, like other shiurim which we find, other measurements which are halacha l'maishim misinai. So until bein hashinayim from the outside is tamei, that's beis hachitzayin, and the bein hashinayim themselves and further in, that is considered lefnim, and the woman is still tor. V'masnita ton, in a braisa we learned, makom disha, that what's called the beis hachitzayin, until the place of threshing. My makom disha, what does it mean until the place of threshing? Amar of Yehuda, makom shehashamish dash. Shamish, Rashi says, is the aver, where the male aver penetrates the woman, and up till the place of gemar bia, where the aver reaches inside the woman, that is the beis hachitzayin. And actually, the Be'in HaShinayim shear, and this shear of until the Makom Shehashamish Dash, is all the same shear. As the Rambam in Hilchas Yisurei Bia, Perik Hei, Halacha Bei states, Vad Heichenu Be'in HaShinayim, Ad Makom Sheyagiyei Lov Ha'Eiver B'Shas Gemar Bia. The Rambam says, what is considered Be'in HaShinayim? That is the place which the Eivor of Tashmish reaches at the end of the Bia. Ubein HaShinayim Atzmai Kelifnim. The Rambam concludes that the Bein HaShinayim itself, that has Allah Kelifnim, and the woman is Torah. So we see clearly from the Rambam that the two Shiurim that the Gemara lists here are really one and the same. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Baraisa, Bivsara, this is from Vayikra, Perek Tazvav, Pasuk Yates, where the Torah states, Ve'isha kisi ezov adam yezov bivsara. So from the word bivsara, we learn, as we learned in our Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, Melamed shemetama bifnim kebichutz, that even if the dam has not exited her body completely, but it's still within her flesh, it is metama in the inside like the outside. And that, as we learned before, was in the base hachitzayin. The Ainli al Nida, this pasuk speaking about Nida, Zava Minayin. How do we know a Zava? That the same halacha applies to the woman after her 7 days of Nida in the 11 days of Ziva. How do we know the same halacha that the Bifnim is Kibbechutz? Talmud Leimer, Zava Bifsara. as Rashi points out, even though this pasuk in Vayikra is speaking about a nida, but since the Torah used the lashon of dam yiyeh zoiva b'vsara, therefore from that lashon of zoiva flowing, we learn out to a zava, that the halacha that applies to a nida applies to a zava as well. Ask the Gemara, poileta shichva zer minayin, what about a woman who after bia with her husband had zera polate from her, it emitted from her, and that is metameh? How do we know that if it only emitted into the beis hachitzon that there would be the same halacha that she's metameh bifnim kibbeh v'chutz? And how do we know that bechlal, the zera that is emitted from the woman, is metameh? That we learn out from Har Sinai, because Klal Yisrael was commanded to separate from their wives for 3 days before Matan Torah, so that they could be tohar at the time of Matan Torah. And we can ask, l'chayra, only 1 day is necessary. The tumah that they would both have from having relations together could end after 1 day. It's a tumas erev. So why did they have to separate for 3 days? The answer is because the woman could be poilate the zera up to 3 days, and the zera would be viable. It could still have the potency to be mazria, and therefore, for 3 days, they had to be separated so that if she was poilate after the 3 days, that would be tohar. And if she's poilate during the 3 days, then she would go to the mikveh, because then it's a tumas erev. So we learn out that poilate shichva zera is metame. But how do we know it's metame even bifnim kevuchutz? Talmud Loimer, the pasuk says, yiyeh. This is the pasuk that we mentioned before in Vayikra Tezvav Yotes. The pasuk states, ve'isha kisiyeh zava, dam yiyeh zoiva b'vsara. It could have said, dam zoiva b'vsara. Blood is flowing in her flesh. Why did it say yiyeh? So therefore, I divide the pasuk into two parts. The first part is speaking about a woman who is a nida, ve'isha kisiyeh zava dam, and then the end of the pasuk is yiyeh zoiva b'vsara. There will be a flow in her flesh, and now we're not speaking necessarily about dam. It could be any flow, even if it's a flow where she had emitted shichva zera. So the yiyeh, according to this pshat, is beginning a new halacha, a new part of the pasuk. But Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon Oimer, it's enough if she has a halacha like the one who did bia to her. Ma boyala, just like the one who did bia to her. The halacha is that carry shichva zera is only metame from the boil when it was emitted outside of the guf of the boil, as Rashi brings the pasuk Vasher teitze mimenu shichva zera. The shichva zera went out of the male. So we learn out ma boil ein matama chetetsu tumin luchutz. Afhi, so to the woman ein matama chetetsu tumas luchutz. So her shichva zera, which she is emitting now from her body, it's only matame like the boil. That it's only matame when it leaves her body, just like it's only matame when it leaves his body. So we have here a machloikus between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon. The Gemara now is going to ask a stira in Rav Shimon. And in order to understand the stira, we have to look at three psukim in the Torah. The first pasuk is in Vayikra, in Parshas Metzora, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Tezayin, where the pasuk states, Ve'ish ki teitzei mimenu shichva zera, v'rochetz b'mayim, it's called besari v'tomei ado arev. What we learn out from this pasuk is that shichva zera is metame, the zocher from whom the shichva zera was emitted. There is another pasuk in Vayikra in Parshas Emor Perichov Beis pasuk Dalid, where the pasuk states, "Oy ish asher teitzim imenu shichva zera," and the pasuk there is referring to his isser in eating kachim. And this pasuk comes to teach us not only the person who had the shichva zera himself, but anyone who was contacted, who came in contact with the shichva zera, he is also tamei. And our Gemara now will wonder, what is the necessity of a third pasuk that we find in Vayikra in the Parshas Metzora, Perek Tezvav, pasuk Yudches, Ve'isha, Asher Yishkav Ish Oysa, Shichva Zera, V'rachatzu B'mayim, V'tamu Ado Arev. That if a man and a woman have relations, they both have to go to the mikveh to be metar themselves from the tum of Shichva Zera, and they remain tamei until the evening. why is this pasuk written? If it's to tell us that the zocher, that his shechvazer is metamehim, that we already know from the pasuk in pasuk tezayin, from the ishki seitzim manu shechvazer. If it's to tell me that someone who came in contact with the shechvazer is tami, that we learned out from the pasuk in parshas emor, oy ish ashetetzim manu shechvazer. So what is the necessity of this pasuk of verachatzu b'mayim v'tamu ad ha'arev? Begins the Gemara, V'savar Rav Shimon daya kabayla. Are you telling me that Rav Shimon holds that by the poleta shechva zera, it's not metame bifnim, it's only metame when it goes outside, just like the boyalod, the one who is boil her, the shechva zera has to go on the outside to be metame him, v'atanya, I'll show you from a brisa, not like that. Rav Shimon says not like that. We learned in a brisa, it says in the pasuk, that was the third pasuk that we mentioned, and on that pasuk, Amar Rav Shimon, v'chima bozel lamdeinu. What is that third pasuk teaching us? Im l'inyan nagei b'shichva zera, if it's trying to tell me that someone who came in contact with shichva zera is also tamei, harei kvar nemar lamata. It already says it further down. In Parshas Emor, in Perikov Beis Pasuk Dalid, it says, Oy ish asher teitzim imenu shechva zera. And from that we learned out that it's being marred by someone who came in contact with shechva zera. So here where the woman came in contact with the shechva zera because she had relations with the man, so we understand that she is tameh. What's the chiddush of this third Pasuk? Elam ipnei shetumas beis hastarmi. It's speaking about where the shechva zera did not go on the outside of her body. It's only in the inside of her body. And normally we have a rule, v'tumas beis hastarm ein metama, that where it's tuma that's in a hidden part of the body, the tuma is not metame. Elosh exer sarkosav, it's exer sarkosav. That's the chiddush of the third pasuk in Parshas Metzayirim, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yudches. V'rachatzu b'mayim v'tama ad ha'arev. Even the woman, where it's only a tuma based on storm, which normally is not a tummy, here it will be tummy. So this itself is a stira, Rav Shimon to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon in the first brisa tells us that the woman is like her boil, just like the one who was boil her, the shechvazer is only metame when it's emitted to the outside, the same thing. The ploilet, the shechvazer, it has to go to the outside of the woman. And here, Rav Shimon himself says not like that. He says, we learn out from the third pasuk that there's a gzeris akasav, that the isha is different than the ish. The ish is only when it's poilet from him, when it goes out of his body. And the woman, even though it's a tumas basis storm, she is still tame from that shechvazera. So we see that the woman is not like the boy Allah. It's a steer in Rav Shimon. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. This is not a steer. Kan b'mishameshas. Kan b'pailatas. The first brisa is speaking about pailatas. And there the halacha is that it's only when it goes outside. There the din is that she has a din dayuk boy Allah. Whereas the second brisa, which says that even bifnim, it's also tamei, there's exerus akasav that here the base of storm is also tamei, that's speaking about when she had relations with the man. Asked the Gemara an obvious question. Poiletes, tepeklei doha shamsha. How did she get the zera in her? Because she had a bia together with the man. So every plita shechva zera is predicated with a Bia, with Mishameshes. So how can you make a chilek between the two brises? That Mishameshes is even Tami Bifnim. And Poletes is only Tami Bechutz. Every Poletes is Mishameshes, so automatically she should become Tami Mi Bifnim. Answers the Gemara, Bishatav Lolishim Usha. She was Mishamesh, and she became Tami from the Zera in the base of storm because of the Zera Sarkos. But on that Tuma, she went to the Mikvah. And she became tar. At night, she became tar. But as Rashi says, ulamachar polta. The next day, she had a plita. And on that, Rav Shimon says that daya kabayla, that she's only tamei if it was emitted to the outside. Einachanami, the original shimush was matamaher, even if the zera was on the inside because of the zera sakosav. However, the following day, when she became tar from the initial bia, then she's only tamei from the shechva zera. That is niflat only if it's totally outside of her, and in the base of chitzon, she will not have the same aloch as a nida or a zava, who will be metame in the base of chitzon also. That will not apply, says Rav Shimon, to the paleta shechva zera. There it has to go totally on the outside. On that, the Tanakhama disagrees, and the Tanakhama says that even by paleta shechva zera, it has the same halacha as nida and zava, that it's metame even in the base of chitzon.